Not for the first time since she had entered the room, I was reminded of the troubling dream of Kaweya's camp, and how Geeta had looked at me in the dream. Geeta and Zebra did not have a great deal in common, but in my confused state of waking, I found it easy to transfer some of Geeta's attributes onto Zebra, her lithe build, her high cheekbones and dark hair. It was not that I did not find Zebra alluring in her own right, but she was stranger than any creature, human or otherwise, that I'd ever shared a room with. "I know enough," Zebra said. "Some of us here are quite interested in it in a perverse way. We find it amusing and quaint and horrifying at the same time." I nodded at the people caught in the wall, the tableau that I'd imagined was a piece of artwork. "I find what happened here fairly horrifying."
"Oh, it was. But we lived through it, and those of us who survived never really knew the plague at its most ferocious." She was standing close to me now, and I felt myself aroused by her for the first time. "Compared to the plague, war seems very alien. Our enemy was our city, our own bodies."
I took one of her hands and held it in my own, pressing it against my chest. "Who are you, Zebra, and why do you really want to help me?"
"I thought we went through that last night."
"I know, but..." There was no real conviction in my voice. "They're still after me, aren't they? The hunt won't have ended just because you brought me to the canopy."
"You're safe while you stay here. My rooms are electronically shielded, so they won't be able to get a fix on your implant. Besides, the canopy itself is out of bounds for the game. The players don't want to draw too much attention to themselves."
"So I have to stay here for the rest of my life?"
"No, Tanner, just another 2 days, and then you're safe."
She removed her hand from mine and used it to caress the side of my head, finding the bulge where the implant lay.
"The thing Waverly put inside your head is wired to stop transmitting after 52 hours. That's how they prefer to play."
52 hours? One of the little rules Waverly mentioned?
Zebra nodded. "They experimented with different durations, of course."
It was too long. My Rivage trail was cold enough as it was. But if I waited another 2 days, I wouldn't stand a chance. "Why do they play?" I said, wondering whether her answer would accord with what Juan, the rickshaw kid, had told me.
"They're bored," Zebra said. "Many of us here are post-mortal. Even now, even with the plague, death is still only a remote worry for most of us.
Maybe not as remote as it was 7 years ago, but still not the animating force it must be to a mortal like yourself. That small, almost silent voice, urging you to do something today because tomorrow might be too late. It just isn't there for most of us. For 200 years, Yellowstone society hardly changed. Why create a great work of art tomorrow, when you can plan an even better one for 50 years hence?"
"I understand," I said. "Some of it, anyway. But it should be different now. Didn't the plague make most of you mortal again? I thought it screwed around with your therapies, interfered with the machines in your cells."
"Yes, it did. The medicines had to be instructed to dismantle themselves, turning to harmless dust, or they killed you. It didn't stop there, either. Even genetic techniques were difficult to implement, because they relied so heavily on medicines to mediate the DNA re-scripting procedures. About the only people who didn't have a problem were the ones who'd inherited extreme longevity genes from their parents, but they were never a majority."
"Not everyone else had to abandon immortality, though."
"No, of course not." She paused, as if to collect her thoughts. "The Hermetics, you'll have seen them. Well, they still have all the machines inside them, constantly correcting cell damage. But the price they pay for it is they can't move freely in the city. Once they leave their